Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for Monday morning health news you can use. With us today, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Doctor, good morning. Let's start with a question that so many people have these days. Folks are trying to figure out if they had the measles, if they had a measles shot, if so, when. What can you tell us here?
Yeah, good morning, Bob. Everyone really wants to know their immunization status. I mean, one of the best ways to really go about doing that is really confirm with your doc. There are some that, from our appointments that we have with our docs, we do upload into the state registry of vaccinations that individuals can actually go into. It's called Vax Verify, where they could get their information out of a state portal, which is like your vaccine kind of dashboard of what you have. You have to understand that not all vaccines are reported up through that. And if you go in there and you see that some vaccines are missing, it doesn't necessarily mean you didn't have them. It might mean that your healthcare provider didn't upload those into the state registry. So you should contact your healthcare provider for those.
We've got a website here, dph.vaxverify@illinois.gov. dph.vaxverify@illinois.gov. There is, I think, on a fairly regular basis now, news about these drugs that seem to be doing some good things and helping Alzheimer's patients. And there's another one here that I was just reading about, Doctor. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, Alzheimer's research has been going on for quite some time, and one of these studies that they've been looking at is those individuals that have a genetic predisposition, they have a mutation that makes them make amyloid. Amyloid is a protein that gets deposited in your brain. Think of like cholesterol plaques that get deposited in your arteries that cause heart disease. Amyloid plaques in your brain can lead to the development of Alzheimer's dementia. So they took these individuals that pretty much are guaranteed to get dementia earlier in life because of this mutation, and they put them on a drug to basically prevent the development of the amyloid plaque, or anti-amyloid drugs. And what they found is that it's taken some of these individuals who 100% probability that they would end up developing Alzheimer's and reduce that risk from 100% to sometimes maybe 50%. It's an ongoing study. The drug that they were originally looking at for this has been discontinued. The individuals that have been enrolled in this study are still continuing on with another anti-amyloid drug and to follow them further to see how if they do develop dementia. There's also another study that's looking at trying to get individuals who have a history, you know, in a family of developing dementia, getting them very early on, like 18 years, long before they develop any type of plaques in their brain, and seeing if they place them on the drug, can they do preventative to prevent that plaque from developing. It's a long-range study that they're looking at because, you know, we have to wait 15 to 20 years to see if they're going to end up developing this. But there's a lot of new research going on this to help prevent the development of Alzheimer's.
So in this latest study of the anti-amyloid drug, everyone in that study was destined to develop Alzheimer's, and some of them had not developed it yet. Do I have that right?
Right. Correct. Yeah, they looked at, it's a rare inherited, you know, mutation that they will almost 100% develop Alzheimer's earlier in life than someone else, and that was the subgroup that they really looked at in that. Yep.
It's the time of year people are dealing with spring allergies, if they haven't yet. It's coming. What's the latest on what you should do to deal with that?
Yeah, allergies. It's all related to pollen. So spring, we have trees, pollen that's coming out. Summer, it's the grasses. Fall, we're looking at weeds and molds. Windy weather increases your likelihood of developing symptoms. Those symptoms are anywhere from cough and congestion to itchy red eyes, some skin irritation, to fatigue and brain fog that you could get. Some of the things that you could think of how do I prevent it overall, of what I should do. It is close your windows to prevent the pollen from coming in. It's a cleaning, you know, spring cleaning. When we think about it, it's clean your vents at home in your heating and air. Change your sheets and pillowcases. When your pets go out, they're a big collector of pollen. Pollen gets on everything. You know, those times where there's high pollen days and it kind of collects on your car. Well, your pet's going to bring it into the house. You're going to pet them and you're going to get more exposure to it. So kind of wipe down your pets when they come in. Same goes for yourself. You've been out all day and it's a high pollen day. When you come home, take a shower, wash the pollen off. You'll probably sleep better. And then the other things that do fairly well is rinse out your nose with saline sprays or a neti pot or something like that.
And what's best to take over the counter?
So antihistamines, the histamines is really what causes the kind of allergic reaction that goes on from the pollen that you have. They work really well over the counter. Some of them are a little bit sedating, but there are other ones that are not. If it's worse and you're having more and more symptoms of it that are uncontrolled, you could talk to your doctor about getting steroid nasal sprays. And then sometimes if it's really bad and you're really congested, it's getting into a decongestant. But we kind of stay away from some of those because you do get some rebound congestion that comes with it. And then if it's severe and you're not really getting managed by over-the-counter or prescription medications, some of the allergists will kind of go through an immune treatment where they kind of desensitize you to that allergen, and that takes shots over a period of time to kind of reset your body or retrain it so you can tolerate it better.
Doctor, let's talk a little bit about blood pressure. Nearly half of all adults in the country have high blood pressure. It's a silent killer, isn't it?
Yeah, when you think about that, half of all the individuals really in America and across the world have hypertension. Many don't even know about it because they don't get it checked regularly. You won't know that you have it unless you check your blood pressure and get into the doc or get a gauge to get it checked at home. And blood pressure, hypertension that is sustained without treatment can lead to heart disease, strokes, kidney damage. It's a major contributor to those diseases. Controlling it can be something that we have a kind of a ability to do some things before medications. And it goes back to diet. A good healthy diet can lead to reduction in blood pressure. And that diet is the one we talked about many, many times, right? It is fruits, vegetables, low in fats, decrease your salt intake. And the other factors that help with your blood pressure really is weight loss and exercise. You combine those together and there's possibilities of not going on medications or preventing going on medications longer as long as you maintain a healthy diet, a good exercise program, and maintain weight loss.
So if, for example, your parents had high blood pressure, diet and lifestyle can actually have a greater impact on that than genetics?
Yeah, you think of it, the nature versus nurture, right? So we're born with a certain genetic makeup that we have the potential to have certain diseases or traits that come forward. But our environment, what we do and what we place our bodies in and what we put in our body plays a humongous role on developing diseases. You might be born with the perfect set of genes, but if you smoke, you eat bad, you don't exercise, and you gain a lot of weight, you're going to end up getting disease and chronic diseases. Even though you're set up for success, you kind of hobbled that success by not following through with what you can do for yourself. So environmental factors play a huge role, and we do have some control over it.
And finally, I don't know if you've heard about this, but some people have written about this, posted about it. They use Vicks VapoRub on the soles of their feet to as a remedy for nighttime coughing and congestion from a cold. Does this work? Have you ever heard of this?
So Vicks has been around for, I think, over 100 years overall. It's a mixture, really, of camphor, eucalyptus, and menthol. Those are kind of aromatics, and that medications, when inhaled, makes us feel like we could breathe better. It also gives a cooling effect and actually feels good going on. you don't want to get it into your mucous membranes, your nose, your lips, or your eyes. It'll be very irritating. And sometimes, you know, just being on your body or being in a cloth in the room can make you actually feel like you're breathing better. Rubbing it on the soles of your feet might be one of those things. You put it on your feet, put some socks on, and you're still going to get the effects of it. I don't necessarily know if there's proof that being on your feet actually makes a difference overall, but the inhalation of it, of the camphor and eucalyptus and menthol mixture, does make a difference. There's a, if you go look up Vicks Vapor Rub, there's probably 30 different things that Vicks Vapor Rub can help with because of the combination of ingredients that are in it, from helping wound healing to toe fungus, you know, over a period of time of getting rid of it. So it's an interesting read if you want to take a look at it.
And let me point out, Dr. Thomas Moran is not a stockholder in Vicks, as far as I know. Have a good week, Doctor. Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.